Have any of you ever done that? Lost your cool with someone who kept asking the same question over and over again? Whether it was an elderly person or a little child or someone in between. Memory is so important to us and so important to those around us. It's more than just remembering where you put your glasses or your car keys. It's remembering where you live and where you've been, who you're with, and who you once enjoyed to be with. It's remembering who you are and once were, who you loved, and who loves you. We love our memories, and we understand the importance of them. That's why we go to family reunions, to retell those stories so we won't forget. It's why we have wedding rings and photo albums and scrapbooks and family traditions. Why we celebrate anniversaries and birthdays and keep journals and build national monuments. It's why we bring back silly souvenirs from trips. And why certain gifts are so important to us. Not because of the cost of the gift, but because of the memories that go with them. We love our memories, and we understand the importance of them. And we'll use the strangest things to remind us sometimes. When my children were little, and I was away from them going to classes several weekends a year, I would bring them back a rock from where I'd been. They were happy for that then. They are no longer happy for just a rock when I'm away. Once, when I was working in Emmaus Walk, I brought back a rock for myself. I keep it on my desk at my house. It was given to me by Ira Laney, a retired Methodist pastor. It's smooth and it's shiny. Ira popped one of those rock tumblers, like you may have had as a child, or maybe some of you still have. This rock reminds me of all the falls and scrapes and jars and abrasions that were required to make it smooth, to make it special. It reminds me of God's work in my life through all the falls and scrapes and jars and abrasions, those things that God promises will one day make us smooth and reflect Christ. It's a silly rock, but it reminds me of an old preacher and of God's work in my life. I have a friend who has some reminder rocks herself. They're not on her desk and they're not smooth and shiny. These rocks are just some she's found on her hikes or in her yard. One of them she picked up on her way to a bar. She has a small stack of them by a door that she uses every day. They are her sobriety milestones. And every day, they help her remember. One for 6 months, one for 9 months, one for a year. She's got a great big one for 2 years. We'll use the strangest things sometimes to remind ourselves. And you know, these reminders are not always our idea. Our scripture text this morning is from Joshua chapter 4. After 40 years of wandering in the desert, the Israelites are about to cross into the promised land. Chapter 3 tells that terrific story. It's late spring, and the Jordan River, which to us most of the year is like a creek, at this time of the year is at flood stage. During the spring flood, sometimes the Jordan River is up to a mile wide. So the river is deep, it's wide, the current is strong, and God tells the priests to carry the ark out into the river. And it's only as they begin to step into that water that the waters stop. When they do, when they put their foot in the water, the Bible says that the water piled up in a heap a great distance away. And while the priests stood in the middle of this riverbed holding the ark, the Israelites were able to cross through into the promised land on dry ground. Water has piled up. The mud has dried up. God has done this great and mighty act. And chapter 4 begins, "When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay.' So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe. And he said to them, 'Go into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial for you forever.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. God told the Israelites to pile up a stack of rocks so they would remember what God had done. Those stones would later become the focal point of worship at Gilgal. Sometimes, you see, the reminders aren't even our idea. They're God's. There are all sorts of reminders in Scripture. Jacob, the usurper, was on the run from his brother Esau. And all he had that night to sleep on was a rock that he used as a pillow. And while he slept, he dreamed of ladders and angels, and he realized that God was with him even while he was running away. And when Jacob woke up, he took the rock and built an altar of it as a reminder of God's presence with him. The high priest carried on his breastplate 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Those were to be for him a reminder of his role as priest and representative. When Samuel victoriously led the Israelites against the Philistines, he took a stone and set it up and named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." If we stacked a stone every time the Lord had helped us, what a wall we'd have. Biblical reminders aren't always stone, though. When David danced before the Lord, when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into Jerusalem, a song was used as a reminder, a song to remind the people of the wonders of God, the miracles of God, the judgments of God. When the exiles had returned and were trying to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and they were threatened by those there, it was Nehemiah's words that were the reminder. He said, "Don't be afraid. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome." You see, our memories are so important to us. The temple itself was made of stone and cedar, and it was a reminder and a memorial of God's presence with his people. Every Passover the Jews have ever celebrated is a reminder of their deliverance from slavery. Every Sabbath, a reminder they are no longer slaves. You know, we are taught to train up children in the way they should go. And we're told that when they are older, that divine memory will kick in. And that will be what will lead them in the way they should go. God knows how important memory is to us. And as often as possible, God gives us a way to remember. Baptism is one of those ways. It helps us remember that God has adopted us and claimed us. It helps us remember that we have died to our past and risen to new life in Christ. And what is communion but a meal of remembrance? A remembrance of God's mighty acts in Christ Jesus, which 1 Corinthians says, proclaims Jesus' death as often as we eat and drink it. And you know, we do these things over and over and over again in the church, just like the man asking the same question. We hear the same Bible stories we've heard since we were in the nursery. We see the crosses and the stained glass windows. We see the candles. We rest on the Sabbath. We sing the same songs. We pray the Lord's Prayer and recite the Apostles' Creed. We see a baptism. We receive communion over and over and over, week after week, until finally we are told that we ourselves become a letter of Christ that is known and read by everyone. Or as Peter the Rock put it, you are living stones being built into a spiritual house. You see, we're reminded and reminded in our faith until we are smoothed off and shined up and polished, until we ourselves become living, breathing reminders of God's grace. What a beautiful mystery that God reminds us until we ourselves become a reminder for others. It's marvelous. When I was studying this for this sermon, I realized that most of the scriptures in the Bible are not asking us to remember something. Most of them are asking God to remember something. We're asking God to remember something He's done in the past that we want God to do again. We're asking God to remember something He has promised to do that we think it's high time He got around to doing. Most of the verses in the Bible about remembering are asking God to remember us. And God does. While the floodwaters covered the earth, the Bible says God remembered Noah. When Abraham and Sarah had been on Medicare for a long time, God remembered them with a son. God remembered Rachel in her barrenness and Hannah in hers. God heard the groanings of His people in Egypt and remembered His covenant and brought them out of slavery. And God remembered Jesus in a tomb and moved another stone that would become our greatest reminder of God's forgiveness and love. Psalm 115 said, "The Lord remembers us and blesses us." God remembers perfectly. And that is such a comfort, that our salvation does not depend on our remembering, but on God's. So, when we are old and gray and no longer know what day it is, when we can't remember what a sparrow is or that we've asked the same question a dozen times, even if there comes a day when there is no one else to remind us or to remember for us, even then, God remembers us still. God Himself becomes our rock, our memorial, our reminder. Isaiah records these words, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast or have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will never forget you, says the Lord." Or as God told Joshua, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me, please? Lord of all, your mercy is great, and your memory is perfect. We thank you for your love and your care that abides with us every day of our life. Amen. As you go this week, I hope you remember, but even if you don't, God remembers you. Go in His love and care. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.